When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he starts throbbing his old sweet song. Oh, wake up, you sleepyhead, get up, get up, get out of bed, cheer up. Cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I've been blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin starts bob, bob, bobbing along.
Hey, good morning, y'all. I'm Martha Norwalk, and welcome you to the first hour of this week's edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. You can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us. Your family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got internet access. And the best way to pull up the stream, go to the Animal World website. That would be MarthaNorwalk.com. Just like it sounds, Martha Norwalk, N-O-R-W-A-L-K.com. Click on the Listen Live link upper right. That'll click you through to the 1150 KKNW website. Click on Listen upper left and then Listen Online, and you'll be all set up to stream the show. And of course, you can find us on Facebook these days. Look for Martha Norwalk's Animal World. All the great videos and photos and stuff that I post during the week. There's a lot of good stuff this week. And I think one of my favorites. See if you can find it. But there's a very cute lazy cat picture. And I don't know, it cracked me up. I'm sure some of you wouldn't like it, but because it involves a mouse, but I thought it gave me a real chuckle. So it cracked up Nathan too. He just found it. Is that cute? The lazy cat.
It's even funnier as the look on its face.
Yeah. Pretty goofy. Anyway, so you'll have to go to Facebook, search Martha Norwalk's Animal World, scroll down until you find the lazy cat photo. There's also some really, you can watch a squirrel picking a sunflower and how hard he works to get the sunflower off, but he's successful. Anyway, there's some good stuff. And let us see, it is first Sunday of October. It's actually October 1st. And ooh, holy moly, did you see our big harvest moon, full moon the last couple nights? Whoa, Knock your socks off. I had a session yesterday. So I now am usually coming home after dark. And so I got to see the incredible moon. Really amazing up over the Sky Valley. And you can hear him chuckling in the background. As always, Animal World's production engineer is here. Good morning, Nathan Miller.
Good morning, Martha Norwalk.
And how are you today?
I'm doing well. And about that moon, that was something. I had a softball game Friday night, and it almost seemed like we didn't need to have a field lights on because that moon was just so bright and vibrant in the skies.
Yeah, it was really amazing. Really amazing. I can see the full moons and stuff if they come up through the trees in the right place, right around me. But of course, on my last 6 miles home, I really get a big view of the sky, of the area out here. And so after dark last night, it wasn't quite full still, but man, it was spectacular. I think what it's like, the closest the moon is to the Earth. And
They call that the super moon.
Yeah, I guess it was one of those. I think apparently the last one for the year or something. Hmm. But anyway, it was a big deal, and I was glad I got to see it.
And we were fortunate enough to have a nice and clear night in the midst of all that rain we're going through, too.
Oh, my word. It had been something in terms of weather. I mean, I'm still wrapping my head around the fact that, where do I live? Because I grew up here. But It used to be that, you know, fall would start and it'd just be gray and drizzly all the time.
Yeah.
But that doesn't happen anymore. It's more like the tropics, and it's like when the sun's out for a moment and then the clouds come in and the bottom falls out of the sky and it rains like crazy. And I've never seen it rain so hard. And then it blows over and it's gone. It's like, I'm not used to that. But boy, I happened to be this last week on that when the big rains came through. It was one of those times where I was right smack dab in the convergence zone. So all the little area of the red and the was right over me. And I swear, Robbie and I were looking at where it's like, I don't know that we've ever seen it rain that hard. So, no, I
once
mean,
you get
we really,
caught under that, it's you got to be careful.
Yeah, well, we stayed inside and just watched it, but and listen to it. I mean, it was deafening. It was so loud, and it rained so hard. My understanding is I heard news reports this week that we're still supposed to be conserving water because we're still a number of inches behind in our water, and our reservoirs are down. And I was surprised to hear the first part of last week that they were saying it's still we need to conserve water because we aren't caught up yet. So I guess I'd be grateful for all of this rain that's coming through because we need it, and we need to fill up our reservoirs and stuff. So it's good news. All righty, so. Gosh, 1st of October, Nathan. That means Halloween month and all that stuff. I'm
still kind of
trying to catch up to fall here. I wasn't really ready. I'm still not ready, but it's kind of like I have to adjust to the energies that are. I mean, we'll do some affirmations to help that process here soon. Mm-hmm. Gosh, we are really into fall, and the temperatures have really dipped. And being the first Sunday of October, that means it's Shelter Rescue Sanctuary and anything that helps our animal friends Sunday. And we've got a full lineup today, but a last minute shift in plans. We normally start off our Shelter Rescue Sunday chatting with Meow Cat Rescue in Kirkland. Unfortunately, Marilyn had a death in the family and she had to leave town unexpectedly. So we will, Meow is doing great, and they're open Thursdays through Sundays from 1 to 5 p.m. in the afternoon in the Houghton Plaza. We free to stop by and adopt your forever kitties. And Marilyn will be back with us for 1st of November. But it was perfect timing because we needed to start a new discussion with an old friend of Animal Worlds who has been with us on and off, probably for decades. Anyway, Aline Fortking, she is one you'll remember from Woodland Park Zoo Elephants, and the one that kept us informed and about bamboo and chai and all of that. Last time we talked to her, boy, I'm not sure how long it's been, Nathan, but maybe a year or two. I think the pandemic messed up all the timing, but Seattle was getting ready to build a new aquarium and all of that, and we started to talk about the issues around Seattle aquarium stuff. Well, that's all gearing up again, so we will have our first discussion about catching us up on what is going on with the aquarium. And if you think it's good news, folks, you better stay tuned. We have a real opportunity here in this area to rise to the occasion and create maybe state-of-the-art future way of doing these kind of things in these exhibits. Now that we're waking up to the fact that, our sea creatures are animals too, and they have feelings too, just like everybody else. And, we've learned some really, really hard lessons over the years. The suffering that we've put elephants through, and, what bamboo and chai and all have gone through and all of that. I think there are scars in all of our hearts here in this area. And we recently had another big whammy being when we couldn't bring our beloved Tokete, Lolita, home. We wanted to bring her home in all those years in that tiny little tank and the torture we put that whale through. We're learning those lessons. It's too bad we haven't really, really learned them. But anyway, so that's going to start us off here at the bottom of the hour. So be here for Elaine and find out what's going on and what we need to be aware of and how maybe we can help. So maybe we can be the light of the world, and how do we educate people about these incredible animals and our oceans and seas without torturing the animals. So that will be our beginning discussion. Then we will, of course, talk with Help Animals India, Seattle Dogs Homeless Program, and a special interview today with the Ananda Institute of Living Yoga, because our own spiritual director of Ananda Washington has written a really incredible book, which is sitting right next to me on the desk because I just picked up brand new fresh copy off the presses. And so we'll be telling you all about that, because it's going to be a big book launch and so forth. And you might be really interested. I think it's a fascinating book. So that's what we're going to be doing today. And I'm just debating here whether we officially start the show and then do our catch up with what we got to talk about. Maybe we ought to do that, officially start the show and then get to our news and all of that. And if you haven't been here when I officially start the show, I do that by honoring the saint that's been guiding my work with the animals for so many years. That, of course, would be St. Francis. And because it's Sunday, and I start with a couple of little St. Francis prayers, one for our animal friends, one for us human animals. And then we have a pile of affirmations that we do are very, very powerful and life-changing if you do them on a regular basis like I do. And I know a number of you do. So anyway, we do them all together. And we will get started with that now. And by the way, participating in this part of the show is completely optional. You can say the prayers and the affirmations along with me, or you can opt out. It's not like the dancing and exercising and sending the love and light around the world when we love train at 10 and 11. Dancing is required. But here, you can opt out if you like. So I'm going to start with a prayer to St. Francis for our animal friends. Here we go. Good St. Francis, you loved all of God's creatures. To you, they were your brothers and sisters. Help us to follow your example of treating every living thing with kindness. St. Francis, patron saint of animals, watch over our animal friends and keep our companions safe and healthy. All right, and now for us human animals, it's the St. Francis of Assisi peace prayer. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O divine master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love, for it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Om, peace, amen. Shanti, shanti, shanti. All righty. Now, start our pile of affirmations here, all contributed by members of the Animal World family here. A number of them come from my spiritual family, and then from Linda Rasmussen and Natasha Venter and Nels Rasmussen. This first one comes from my spiritual family. It was life-changing for me. It is what I start my every day with. I recommend you do it, too. It really shifts the energy. Here we go, and I say each one of these out loud three times, and you can join me or not. Totally up to you. Here we go, affirmation. Number one, everything that happens in my life is a blessing from the divine meant for my spiritual evolution. Everything that happens in my life is a blessing from the divine meant for my spiritual evolution. Everything that happens in my life is a blessing from the divine meant for my spiritual evolution. All right, affirmation number two comes from Linda Rasmussen and was an affirmation she would give on the air from time to time when she works with someone. And it's so powerful that we've all started using it. And again, highly recommend it. Makes a big shift. Three times. Here we go. We are grateful and thankful for our abundant lives. We are grateful and thankful for our abundant lives. We are grateful and thankful for our abundant lives. All righty then, next one up here is from the Ananda Institute, the Italian division, and this is the one I use to get myself ready to go out in the world and spread good health around and go out in good health and vibrance. So here we go. God's power, vitality, good health and strength flow through me, flow through me, flow through me. God's power, vitality, good health and strength flow through me, flow through me, flow through me. God's power, vitality, good health and strength flow through me, flow through me, flow through me. All righty then. And this next one comes from Natasha Venter. And this is the one to help us kind of adjust to the energies that are, and the one that I'm using now to help me adjust to all this fall energy and the colder weather. Three times, here we go. My body and I gently, easily, and harmoniously align with and accept the energies of now. My body and I gently, easily, and harmoniously align with and accept the energies of now. Our bodies and I gently, easily, and harmoniously align with and accept the energies of now. All righty. And then the last one here to conclude our little affirmation ritual. It is the Ananda's Warrior of Light affirmation. This is the one where we send the love and light all over the country, all over the world. And boy, it's needed everywhere. So here we go. God's light is within me and around me. With the sword of faith in my hand, with the love of God in my heart, I am a warrior of light. I join my brothers and sisters everywhere to overcome fear with faith, hatred with love, and disease with health. We are all warriors of light. Let us fill the world with God's light. God's light is within me and around me. With the sword of faith in my hand, with the love of God in my heart, I am a warrior of light. I join my brothers and sisters everywhere to overcome fear with faith, hatred with love, and disease with health. We are all warriors of light. Let us fill the world with God's light. God's light is within me and around me. With the sword of faith in my hand, with the love of God in my heart, I am a warrior of light. I join my brothers and sisters everywhere to overcome fear with faith, hatred with love, and disease with health. We are all warriors of light. Help us fill the world with God's light. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Alrighty then, we are all spiritualized up for the day and the week. And so we can get rolling now. And golly, why don't we, Nathan, why don't we take care of advertisers real quick, get that done so we're on schedule, and then we'll come back with the good news and the bad news. I think maybe we'll get the bad news out of the way, and then we got some things to celebrate. So we'll talk about that. Stay right where you are. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Here's a thought to consider from the Ananda Institute of Living Yoga. With the love and care you offer your pets, what about another important pet project, finding happiness? But how do you find happiness? Money? Health? Love? Or millions of people are finding that the regular practice of meditation or yoga can brighten your life with an inner satisfaction and contentment that no possession, position, or title can give. Find our schedule of classes and events at anandawashington.org. That's A-N-A-N-D-A Washington.org.
Hi, this is Martha. Did you know that besides hosting Animal World, I'm also an animal behavior therapist and trainer with more than 40 years of professional experience? I work with you privately in your home or over the phone to help you understand your animal friends and resolve whatever behavior training or healing problems you've got going on. Most of my expertise is with cats and dogs, but I sometimes work with other types of animals as well. So whether it's puppies or kittens, adult dogs or cats, or elderly animal issues, I can help. Cats not using the litter box? Biting or scratching you or your furniture? Maybe they're fighting with each other or waking you up at night. I've got answers. Dogs barking too much, jumping or dragging you around the block on your walk? Does he have separation anxiety or chew up stuff he shouldn't? I've got answers. Whatever's going on with your animal friends, I will help you fix it. I am more than reasonably priced and often need to see you only once. I always do a free, no obligation telephone evaluation, so give me a call and bug my voicemail if you need immediate attention. You'll find me at Martha's Canine, Feline, and All Creature Counseling at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258, and I'd love to hear from you.
Self-help, healing, spirituality, and more on Alternative Talk, 1150.
Hey y'all, I'm Martha Norwalk, and we're just getting rolling on this week's edition of Animal World. We're here till noon today, and every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here in Alternative Talk, AM 1150. We heard from the Ananda Institute of Living Yoga, and we will hear from them again later today, about 11:30. Hear about Reman McGillivray's new book, what's coming up at Ananda. And then, of course, you heard from me. And I am an animal behavior therapist and dog trainer when I'm not here on the radio. Well, I'm not when I'm here, too. But I work with people privately in their homes to help them understand their animals or their dogs and solve problems. And I had a great session yesterday with a little Shih Tzu and a Schnauzer Terrier mix. And barkers and screamers driving their people nuts for years. Okay. Shih Tzu was done before I even got in the house. I start with the barking immediately. We address that right away. And that's one of the easier things to get under control quickly. Anyway, I always do a free, no obligation telephone evaluation. I specialize in coming in and usually only seeing you once and getting problems resolved fast. So if you're interested in that and want to chat with me about it, tell you or tell any of your friends, all you got to do is give me a call. Happy to chat with you. 360-217-7258. 360-217-7258. All righty then, Nathan. We've got, let's see, to start with, the sun was out here a while ago, but apparently you ruined it because
it's been gray all morning over here on the east and south side.
Yeah, so you don't have any sun down there.
No, about the only sun I can probably see is down over the islands, just west of Seattle.
Well, it was sunny up here, but it's cloudy now. So what's going on with the weather? We got stuff coming in. It's going to get rainy again, or what are we doing?
Well, it's supposed to clear up today, actually. We'll have clear skies, and it'll be sunny. No really indication on when that might be, but you could probably expect maybe around the early parts of the or mid parts of the afternoon that'll start to be nice and sunny, but then increasing clouds overnight and going back into some showers for Monday and slowly decreasing showers throughout the week. And so we're kind of getting a little bit of everything this week.
Yeah. It looks like it's going to get nicer, though, towards the end of the week, and we might get some sunshine.
Yeah.
Which would be good.
And get back into the 70-degree temperatures, too, which will be nice to have back.
Yeah. And that's something you all need to be paying attention to weather-wise with your animal friends, because it is starting to get much colder at night. I mean, it's down in the 40s now out where I am. And the things to remember at this time of year, if you have animals that, you know, spend time outside, if you handle your flea situation naturally like I do, rather than using the flea chemicals on the animals all the time, then you want to pay attention, because as that we get these serious temperature drops low, if there are any fleas out there, they'll want to jump on and get a ride inside. And so I always get out my little bowl of soapy water and my flea comb and start checking. I know instantly, because my cats don't scratch themselves unless they have a flea. So I just pay attention. And if I hear or see them scratching, then I check. And it's been really exactly what I talk about has happened to me this year. It was probably maybe 3 weeks ago was the first dip. Down into the low 50s, down at high four, and sure enough, I guess the rodents must bring them into my cat run, and I got a few fleas off of the cats, not on the dog because he doesn't go on the cat run, but no flea dirt, no evidence of any kind of infestation, and then nothing. But then this week, then the temperatures went back up again for a while. Then they dropped again this week in the last couple of days. And sure enough, I had one cat scratch and I found another flea. Still no flea dirt or any infestation. And there it seemed to be that we've got them all. So you want to pay attention to that so that you don't end up letting them sneak in and getting a hold inside. Once the temperature is consistently below 50, then everything outside stops hatching. And everything goes dormant. So then you can spend the winter, fall and winter, making sure that you have eliminated everything from the indoor environment, and you should be good to go. And the other thing is to keep in mind your little dogs. Had to remind my clients about it yesterday. Small dogs, sensitive dogs, don't like to go out in the cold weather and the rain and the snow. Well, and us humans can do the same thing, but you got to remember your dog friends are monkey see, monkey do. And you got the right sales pitch, you can convince them of anything. So at this point, if you got small and or sensitive models that don't like the cold weather, the yuckier it gets when it's cold, rainy, and the yuckier it gets, the more important it is that you go out with them with your happiest, jolliest attitude, maybe even a high-value little food reward that you'd give them on the spot right after they go. So if you're on, it's yucky and rainy or wet, so boy, let's go outside. Woohoo! Oh boy, it's raining. And you get happy, jolly, go out as they go. As soon as they're done, good potty in the rain and give a treat, and then back in the house you go. And you want to recondition them to be willing to go out in the cold weather, and that's what you do. So otherwise, if you don't, you're likely to find a few little accidents around because they don't want to go out. So it's up to you to sell them on the idea. All righty. So then, Nathan, we have some good news. We got several good newses that we can celebrate. We have some bad news. So I guess we better let's get the bad news out of the way. Okay, y'all know, what does Nathan love? Not as much as being here with Animal World and stuff, but you know, he's a big Mariners fan, and we've been rooting him, and we wanted him, we're hopeful, we thought they'd get in the playoffs this year, but Nathan, what happened?
We were oh so close. It was just a matter of, games that matter and three teams playing against each other all trying to go for it. And it's like, you're watching like NASCAR and you got three cars going to the finish line, neck to neck, and only like one of them gets, the first place trophy. Well, that's what we had with the Mariners and the Rangers and the Astros. They were all just getting to that finish line, going for a photo finish, and whoever gets it is the winner. And came down to the last game or two, and unfortunately the Mariners fell short and had to be the one that, like a reality TV show, when they always say, all right, we love you all, you all did great, but one of you's gotta go. That was the case.
And that was us. The Mariners. And then that we just happened that just happened last night. It was the game that determined the fate. So it's a new wound. But anyway, Nathan, I'm sorry that they didn't make it. But
I'm used to it. Next year, we'll get it.
All right. And then now switching to football, though, we're in good shape there. The Seahawks, I told you, I think they're going to have a good season. And they have rallied back and two in a row, and they're doing really good. And then my team, because, of course, I lived right next to the stadium. I grew up in Husky Stadium, and that's, of course, I also went to school, University of Washington. And the Huskies, Nathan, are doing phenomenal. They're, like, undefeated. And I think there was even a vote this week to vote them number one in the nation. Yeah. They're not number one yet, but there was one. They got one vote for number one, so
they
Huskies are
truly something this year. And I remember watching the game last week, and Huskies scored 14 points, I believe, before the offense even touched the football. It was all special teams and defense scoring at the beginning.
Yeah, pretty incredible. Anyway, so that's good news. And then my own personal, I think the best news of the week, we'll save the celebration music for our last celebration because that's an animal celebration. But my best news of the week, I am so excited. I don't know that I've gotten this excited to do something recently, but I was able to get the new COVID booster this week. They finally got them in at Kroger and Fred Meyer. So I just want everybody to know the new COVID vaccine has made it to our area. They seem to always come to the Walgreens pharmacies first, but there are no Walgreens around me, and I really didn't want to make a big trick out of the area. But finally, Fred Meyer and Kroger got them this week. And so as soon as they got them, I think I was the first one in line. So down I went and I got vaccinated on Thursday. Have to say, had a really sore left arm the rest of the day, but with my Arnica, homeopathic Arnica and Tremel, it was over pretty much by the next day. And then I went in and saw Jude, did some balancing, you know, sound healing with me, and I am a happy camper. So I'm going to be a little cautious for the next couple of weeks while my immune system is loaded up, but then I'm feeling really good about that. And then we have big animal news to celebrate. So how about we get us in the mood? Y'all out there, you know what we're celebrating? Nathan knew what we're celebrating. Mm-hmm. Well, he ought to, because he's got a family relative that won this week. Well, sort of.
Yeah, anyway. Somebody in the bloodline.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I mean, now, we've got something really important to talk about coming up. And this, you know, relatively speaking. However, it's never happened before. And I don't know if any of you guys are fans of America's Got Talent, but I am. And I think it's become a phenomenal show. And for the first time ever, an animal act won America's Got Talent. And it was the amazing Adrian Stroika and his border collie Hurricane. And they won the whole business, the $1 million and the whole America's Got Talent big prize this week. I do agree with the judges and the evaluation that it was, in fact, the best animal act they've ever had on America's Got Talent. And
they didn't say it was an animal act. You remember what they were saying?
Yeah.
I think it was Howie Mandel that said it.
Yeah, that was the best animal act they've ever had on the show.
No, they said it was the best.
Well, it was the best dog act they'd ever had, but they also
it was the best human
general,
act. With
yeah, but it was not as much like an agility dog doing things or a routine. It was more acting a little scenario that the handler and Adrian and Hurricane would do. And Hurricane made up a lot of the stuff along the way. Anyway, it was quite entertaining. And Hurricane is an amazing dog. And it really was a great had great performances that this guy and this dog did throughout the show. And I have no problem with them winning. And I think it's fabulous that they did. And I agree that they're probably the best dog act that they've ever had and all of that. Now, do I agree with the fact that I think they should have won the whole thing this year? I think that it was an emotional win for them, and just because they were such a great animal act. But my goodness, the quality of talent that they've got going on that America's Got Talent is really off the charts. And there were just so many incredibly gifted performers and groups and singers and stuff. Anyway, I think every single one of them could have won and should have, but I'm just not convinced that this dog act was the best one to be a headliner in Las Vegas for, you know, I think there were better choices, but I'm real pleased that Adrian and Hurricane won, and she is really a great border collie and they have a great story. So congratulations to Adrian and Hurricane, winner of America's Got Talent. All right, so Nathan's excited. Abby's excited because one of her relatives won. So, and Hurricane kind of has the same kind of energy that Abby has.
Yeah, I did notice a lot of similarities, especially with the way she would just kind of sit down and watch. And typical border collie trait in the end, but still, I mean, the markings and the size of Hurricane, very dissimilar to Abby.
Yeah, all righty. Okay, so now it is time to shift gears and get on to what we are here to do today, because it is the first Sunday of the month. It is Shelter, Rescue, Sanctuary, and Anything That Helps Our Animal Friends Sunday. And one of the people that I know on the planet that has really devoted her life for decades now in fighting for animals' rights and our beloved animal friends is our next guest. And I'm delighted to welcome her back to Animal World. I'm sorry that there's stuff in the news that we have to be talking about, but I don't know anybody better to explain all this stuff to us. So without further ado, I'm welcoming back Aline Fortgang, I think from representing, I don't know, NARN today, Northwest Animal Rights Network. Anyway, good morning, Aline, and welcome back to Animal World.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. And yes, I am representing NARN today in their effort, which I'm a part of, to we're working against this shark tank, which is also called the Ocean Pavilion, down at the Seattle Aquarium.
And this is the big Seattle Aquarium that's in downtown Seattle, right?
Right, right. I mean, the city is redoing the entire waterfront, and it is truly beautiful. There's no question about that. But it could do without, you know, the inhumane shark tank that uses up an enormous amount of energy. And we want them to pivot and make it non-live for, you know, many reasons, of course, being animal rights first and foremost. But, I mean, these poor sharks, you know, they are migratory animals, and they don't belong in a tiny, small tank. The other thing that we are asking of this Seattle Aquarium is to stop the annual capture of a giant Pacific octopus right out of our local waters. I mean, right the waters right there under the aquarium. They take, they hunt down and capture an octopus. Now, I've spoken to three docents about this, so I've gotten some different stories, but basically they have one in waiting in the back in a barren cylinder, and when the one that's on display is about ready to die, then they release that one and they bring the new one and put her on display. So there's one in waiting.
Wow.
Oh, yes, absolutely. So the one that, well, both of them are in just the wrong, and excuse me, I have a little bit of a cold, so bear with me, but they have the, just absolutely the wrong environment. It's a tiny little tank. It's about the width of her arm span. That's it. She can't go anywhere. She can't do anything. And it's just so inhumane. And we know, you know, if anybody has watched My Octopus Teacher, they know and they've learned about octopuses. And that is how you say it. It's the ES at the end. They've learned how octopuses are super intelligent. They have 9 brains. And they're really intelligent and sentient, and they do not belong in a tiny tank. It's just plain outright cruel. So we're
I talked a little bit about this at the beginning of the show, Aline. I think that we are in a process of the truth coming out about all kinds of things, you know, related to human life on this planet. One of the things we're learning about, of course, are animals and the fact that they are sentient beings. And I'm constantly, you know, teaching everyone I work with that they have souls just like we do. And many of these animals think and reason, have feelings and emotions and personalities and all this sort of thing. And we are just beginning to realize that about so much of the wild life of animals that live around us. And we, of course, had to go through all the trials and tribulations and the heartbreak of dealing with the Woodland Park Zoo elephants. And Elaine, you were stellar in keeping us informed, and you guys did everything you possibly could to get these elephants released to a sanctuary where at least they could live out their life being more like elephants and walking and doing all the things that elephants do. And of course, you know, we ultimately were not successful, and we've had to watch our elephants suffer for our entire lives.
I just want to say here, while we were not successful in getting the elephants to sanctuary, and yes, that was a tragedy for Bamboo and Chai, we were successful in bringing awareness to this region about the harm of captivity. And the elephant exhibit was shut down, which ended their aspirations to become a breeding center. So we shut down.
All right, so there was some good things happened there.
Right, the no more elephants are born into the misery of captivity. So, yes.
Okay, so then now we've had to learn another really horrible lesson, and that has to do with our beloved Tokete Lolita killer whale that was captured, here in the Pacific Northwest. I remember watching it happen on TV. The incredible suffering of her living in that tiny little tank, you know, for, God, I don't know, 40-some years or something, and we had hopes of bringing her back because she wanted to come home, but she didn't live long enough for us to be able to do that. And hopefully there will be equal lessons learned in Florida, and that they will not do more killer whales, and that they will stop housing marine mammals in that aquarium. And I don't know what's going on there and that sort of thing. But that was another opportunity for us to learn about, you know, not doing this to animals. So now let's bring it around. Here we are in Seattle. We got our big Seattle aquarium, and we've all kind of grown up with, well, the aquariums, you go there because they have big tanks of fishes and you get to see all the fishes, and, you know, and then as something like this grows, then they want bigger fishes and more kind of sea life. And now it's gotten into the shark tank, and now the octopus, and there's another opportunity here. I mean, I think that we've learned the lesson, folks. These creatures they have soul vibrations. They have brains. They're really intelligent. And more stories happen that we see the intelligence in sharks, the intelligence in the octopus, and all of that. But yet, we're torturing these beings for our own entertainment with the claim of education and all of that. However, folks like Aline and her group, the NARN, have a greater vision. And so two things I think we have to clarify. I want you to clarify what is really so bad that's going on for the sharks and the octopus. You've started to explain that. But then also, you guys have an incredible vision of the ball that Seattle Aquarium could pick up in transforming what we're doing here into the way of the future of educating, you know, of having exhibits like this and educating the public about these animals without abusing and torturing the animals.
Right, absolutely. Well, the first thing, bottom line, every animal that is at the Seattle Aquarium or at Woodland Park Zoo are all wild, and they retain all their wild instincts, whether they're bred or whether they're captured. So their lives are altered and put in a you know, unnatural situation, and they suffer. I mean, they just, you know, you can see it in their stereotypical behaviors, and they don't reproduce well. They simply suffer. And when the Aquarium or Zoo says that this is for educational reasons, well, we've done our research on that, and there are no scientific peer-reviewed studies that supports what they're saying. In fact, the opposite is true. We did a survey in 2017 by GMA Research, and what we found out is that respondents reported that they learned about wild animals from sources other than the zoo, even though in the question, the responses were offered the zoo as a choice. In fact, only 1% chose zoo as a choice of where they learn about wild animals. So they don't go to the zoo to learn about animals. They go to the zoo to have a fun time. And it's on the backs of suffering animals. The other thing, the captivity industry's own research, and that's by the World Association of Zoos and Aquariums, they found that the actions people might take to help wild animals or help wild habitat actually decreased after a visit to a zoo or aquarium. So, I mean, there you have it by the industry's own research that going to a zoo or aquarium is not about education. You know, I think it's about money.
It's about entertainment.
Entertainment and money. I mean, the people who work at aquariums, management who works at the aquariums make huge salaries. And, you know, it produces jobs and huge salaries, and it's entertainment, and it's all under the guise of entertainment and conservation, and of which very little of it actually occurs.
Why is it bad for, and where do they get the sharks? Do they go out and capture the, where do the sharks come from, and why is it so bad for them to be in the aquarium?
Well, we have in writing from the aquarium that if they cannot find the sharks at another institution or at another breeding facility, then they will capture animals to put into the ocean pavilion / shark tank. But what we know about these breeders is that they capture them. So while the aquarium doesn't say, well, we didn't capture them, where they're getting...
Oh, somebody else does. Okay.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's a proxy. So we know that some of them do come from breeding situations, but as I just said, they are still wild animals denied everything that is important to them. And, you know, the shark is a migratory animal, so you are denying the most basic behavior of this animal, which is to migrate. You can't do that in a tank. You know, one of the other animals that are in the shark tank, slated for the shark tank, is a bowmouth guitarfish. Now, this animal slithers along the bottom of the sandy bottom of the ocean, and when she gets enough speed to propel, she propels herself out of the ocean high into the sky, and that helps her get rid of the bacteria on her body. Well, you can't do that. She can't do that in a shark tank. And the shark tank is, you know, it's tiny. It's absolutely tiny. And, you know, and I've been down to the aquarium a number of times. Narn has had a number of demonstrations down there. And I've gone, you know, as close as I can to the new, the shark tank that you can see from the public can see. And you walk there, and you have to crank your neck like at 90 degrees to look up. And it's like, that's really uncomfortable. People will probably spend 5 seconds. I mean, think about how, you know, 5 seconds is a really long time to have your neck cranked at a 90-degree angle to look at these animals going around in endless circles. So for that 5 seconds that we look at that animal has been sacrificed for her entire life. She has been, you know, she will suffer and die young. That's the other thing. Sharks die young and, you know, in captivity. So
it sounds to me like perhaps the sharks are like the elephants of aquariums, and that the elephants in captivity are deprived from their, you know, migratory and wandering life, where they walk hundreds and hundreds of miles, and their walking is real important for their physical health and well-being and emotional health and well-being. So, yeah. But you're saying, you know, sharks are migratory creatures as well. And so they wouldn't be walking, they'd be swimming. And so by putting them in the aquarium, we prevent them from doing any of that.
I know. We prevent their most normal behavior, their most inbred, you know, their most normal behavior. And it's just, you know, like.
And that what really disturbed me is then you start talking about the octopus, and that's, I've been learning more about octopuses too. It's glad, I'm glad to know how to properly say it. And there's been a lot of information coming out about how intelligent these creatures are. And I've posted some really cool videos that have been taken of octopuses, you know, in the wild. And gosh, they're incredible beings. But I'm really disturbed to hear what you say, that they capture an octopus and they have it in the aquarium. But then after a while, because of, I don't know, all the downsides of aquarium, they start to die. And so then they just let them go. And then they have they've already captured another one to replace
right.
it with.
They have one in waiting. Octopuses only live 3 to 5 years. And so they change color, or they have other behaviors. So we can tell when they are, you know, going to die. And they certainly, die after they reproduce also. So soon after. So, you know, the aquarium knows when the octopus is about to die, and rather than have the octopus die on their hands, they let her go. But meanwhile, then the other one gets, another one has been waiting in a barren environment. In fact, the aquarium has a warehouse down in Soto, and there's pictures of it, of the interior of it, on their website, on the aquarium's website, and you can see there are, I believe, 5 large blue tubs. And a lot of the animals slated for the shark tank are already in there, swimming in endless circles in this barren, you know, it looks like an above-the-ground swimming pool. That's what it is, above-the-ground swimming pool.
Okay, got to let you all sit with that information for a moment. We've got to take care of advertisers one more time in this hour, Aline, and then we'll come back, and with the remaining minutes that we have, we'll find out from Aline what are they doing about this, and is there anything we can do to support, you know, getting Seattle Aquarium to change the way they're doing things. And let's move us into the future. And we also all want to hear from you, Aline, a little bit about what the future aquarium could look like that wouldn't be torturing animals. So stay right where you are, everybody. Animal World continues. More with Aline and Seattle Aquarium stuff straight ahead right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Does your dog or cat have a health or mobility problem that is not responding to standard veterinary care? Are you looking for a non-medical alternative? I'm Nels Rasmussen, retired chiropractor and spiritual healer. I've helped people and pets all over the world to get their happy, active lives back when nothing else has worked. To learn more, go to healingministryforanimals.com. Go to healingministryforanimals.com. Now.
Hi, this is Martha Norwalk, host of Animal World, and I've got a question for you. Do you or anyone you know own a business, offer a service, or a product that does something good for animals, humans, or this planet? If the answer is yes, then I'd like to invite you to become a member of the Animal World family of advertisers. Lately, people are telling me they think radio advertising is exorbitantly expensive. Well, that can be true, but not on Animal World. Did you know that for as little as $45 a week, you can have 2 professionally written and produced commercials at no cost to you running on the show? You also get a link to your website on the homepage of the Animal World website and 2 live interviews on the show. Frankly, you can't afford not to do this. So if you'd like to join our great Animal World family of advertisers, or if you need more information, go to www.marthanorwalk.com to send me an email, or call me at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258. Come on, give me a call and join the family. We'd love to have you.
Would you like to access portals of possibilities for transformation, consciousness, expansion, and new experiences of health and well-being? Ancient knowledge and new science tell us that everything manifests from vibratory frequencies. Jude Ponton can assist you in shifting frequencies for personal health, aligning and balancing your energy or the energy of your home, property, or workspace. Jude can work with you remotely, office, or on-site if you live in the Seattle area. Jude can also teach classes in the Accutonic Sound Healing System. Check out whispering-dragon.com. That's whispering-dragon.com for descriptions of services. Or call 206-706-2836. That's 206-706-2836. You can even email resonate@whispering-dragon.com for information or to schedule sessions.
Get your daily dose of variety. Alternative Talk, 1150.
Hey, y'all, I'm Martha Norwalk, and we're winding down the first hour of this week's edition of Animal World. We're here till noon today, and every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. We're talking to Aline Fortgang from Narn, about the Seattle Aquarium and what's going on there. And excuse me, Aline, obviously, want to see if there's anything that we can do to help. But before you tell us what you're doing about this, kind of the vision that I think you're encouraging Seattle Aquarium to go to, it's more of a virtual display rather right. than real sharks and octopus. Is that correct?
Right. We have the opportunity, because we're strategically positioned in this high-tech region, we have the opportunity to be the model for other cities. We encourage, cutting-edge technological experiences, and there's VR, of course. There's animatronics. I've seen belugas that look, act just like the real animal. Holograms. I mean, look, I'm not well-versed in what the possibilities are, but like I said, we are in a region that has this talent that can produce an experience that's, so educational and will conserve our electricity and this Shark Tank is so inefficient. It sucks in cold water, has to heat it, has to filter it, and then on a daily basis this is done. And then the water is taken out and filtered and cooled every single day. I mean, it uses enormous amount of energy. And so there's alternatives and humane alternatives. And doing this would really promote a healthy respect for animals and for a natural world. And it would be, what they're doing now really diminishes our humanity based on exactly what you said. We know so much about animals now.
Yeah, and we have the opportunity here. Let's all, think good thoughts, say prayers, and see the Seattle Aquarium taking advantage of the opportunity they have to be a beacon of light for the rest of the world and this country, especially in setting the example and creating the virtual experience that will be truly educational, but yet honor the lives of these creatures and not torture them, and also not be wasting, power and light and energy, all that sort of stuff. And I know, Aline, you guys have written some letters to the Seattle Aquarium, so you've got a campaign going on to right. try to convince them of all this stuff, right?
Right, so people can go to NARN, which is Northwest Animal Rights Network, and sign up for alerts, because we've had a few demonstrations and we'll be having more. And there's also a petition online. I think it's the second campaign down that on their website, which is clearly, sharks should not be in captivity, I think is what the headline is. And there is a petition there that they can sign. And
so that would be like NARN, NARN.org, something like that?
Yeah, that I think that works.
Okay.
Yeah, narn.org.
Narn.org. So Northwest Animal Rights Network, NARN. So, and Nathan has checked on that and says it is good. That's a good website. So Narn, NARN.org. We want you to check it out. You can sign the petitions, sign up for the alerts so you'll know. Now, this is just the beginning of our discussions with Aline. She will keep me informed. We will touch base on a regular basis, and we'll have Aline come and keep us informed about this whole thing. Looks like we're on a shark and octopus watch here now that we don't have the elephants to do anymore, Aline.
Yes.
And, I can't tell you how much I appreciate the work that you do, and you're there for these animals. But and I'm all there for you. We've learned these lessons. We learned them with the elephants. We learned them with the orcas. Come on, folks. Let's get it together, and let's be a beacon of the right way to educate people about sea life without torturing the animals.
Exactly.
Celine, unfortunately, we're out of time, but we'll be in touch off the air, and we'll get you back on as soon as we can, okay?
Sounds like a plan. Thank you, Martha.
All right.
All right.
You're welcome. Good luck. All right.
Bye.
God bless.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All righty, everybody. Time to change gears and get the love train fired up. Remember, this is... a mandatory part of the show. This is our exercise and energization part of the show that we get. It's a chance to get us moving and get our energy flowing and shed a few of those pandemic pounds, but also to share, to spread the love and light all over the country, all over the world. We sure need it. Let's focus on the aquarium and waking them up here. And remember, dancing is required, but you can dance in your head. You can dance in your bed. You can dance in your chair. You can dance anywhere. Get up and join me on the love train. I'll cruise through and pick you up. And I always energize the love train music with our yogi energization prayer, so we get extra energy for the day and the week. Here we go with that. Oh, infinite spirit, recharge our bodies with thy conscious cosmic energy, our minds with thy concentration and determination, our souls and all souls with thy ever new joy. Oh, eternal youth, the body and mind, abide in us forever and forever via the love train, and it's coming right up. Stay right where you are. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.